Opinion Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
To join in unity for independence.
Ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM Radio, Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. It is a glorious day, ladies and gentlemen, seventh month, first day of the seventh month. We're out here live and in full effect, grateful to be in your company today, chopping the thing down as we always do with grace. Talk to me, and decency and in order. It's a beautiful day, guys. I want you guys to chime in. As you can tell, we want to be able to start this kind of a conversation. Around this kind of a time, as we're leading up to the 10th of July, right, where the celebrations kick off, we've just seen the U.S. Embassy just kind of open up before their 4th of July. But as we move towards the 10th of July and being able to identify our 51st independence anniversary, being able to celebrate that, it's very important that we start to have these kind of a conversations, even if this is the only time that we really delve deep into that. This year, the theme that the Bahamas Secretariat has actually come up with is One People United in Love and Service. I like it. I'm hoping that I can be able to participate with the Secretariat, hoping that I can be able to hear from Leslie in her particular capacity to see whether or not that's a possibility. I know that they have a great deal laid out. So I'm grateful to be able to do that. Guys, I got to be able to shout out the persons that continue to be able to sponsor the show. I am grateful to them. They are none other than Alive, Bonneville Bones, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Doctors Hospital, Grand Bahama News, Popeyes, Printmasters, and Ron's Electric Motors. Guys, I'm grateful to be in their company. Thank you so much for being able to sponsor the show. Y'all are good and decent people. Gotta shout out my good, decent people over at AFS Insurance Agents and Brokers. They got everything laid out for you. They are here to stay. You gotta go check them out. They got everything available for you as it relates to insurance. If you're in the market for insurance, go check my people out. 3411-AFS, 3411-AFS. In-house financing for your SDs, your taxis, your jitneys, all of those E's. Ease the burden of your mind to try to figure out where you can get that money from. 3411-AFS, 3411-AFS, number 407 Blue Hill Road South. They got everything laid out. Guys, make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Task Force Unmove, Commander. And listen, Commander says that the guns to protect tax collectors. He made a very good claim and a very good posture, being able to talk about the fact that we have identified significant infractions as a result of us being able to go from place to place and space to space. I think that socially we're still going to be able to retain this kind of... Let me say this. Commander, in your particular capacity, we respect you. We respect your posture. We respect your position. But in an environment that we live in that is charged significantly with gun violence, come on, man. We're not talking about your responsibility. We're not talking about your posture, procedures, the protocols that's associated with your position. We're talking about a government, not necessarily you. They've identified you in this position. We're talking about a government that doesn't understand or has been desensitized to what the perception is from a social standpoint. Our children don't need to be seeing guns. This doesn't need to be a normalized concept. You have the access and opportunity for being able to have concealed weapons. We ain't fighting you. And one of the things that I should have said the other day that I wanted to, that I thought about, I wrote it down, but I didn't say it, is that when you see the FBI, the ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, when you see the AFT, Ammunition and Firearms Task Force, right? AFT. When you see those particular persons show up, just merely having a badge and a vest with the block letters that indicate your capacity is sometimes sufficient. Can I say that? Uniformity to be able to spell out what you do and everyone from a social standpoint understanding that this is what you represent, this is what our expectations are, and you could all condition us to what you do and our expectation to ensure that we have everything in order when we see you by just being able to have. That's simple. A few years back, we saw the police officers show up with vests on that says police, as though we didn't know it from the red stripe, but we appreciate it. Now, Paul, I didn't know, sir. Thank you very much. The red stripe didn't say enough, and the blue shirt, that didn't say enough to me. So I appreciate you now spelling it out very clearly on your vest. Please. See, these things, which is a social indicator of what your capacity is and what our expectations should be from you, are the things that should be forerunners. That's it. There should be uniformity for the purposes of presentation. That's it. We're not going to fight you. We ain't getting in your business. You're doing a good job. We commend you. You've identified some infractions. You say people selling bear when they ain't got no license to sell bear. Praise God. I hope you've been down to those particular locations that sell, I wouldn't call a name. Amen. The Budweisers. Talk to me. Amen. Praise God. Let's be decent. The importation of these particular things when you know that you can't even put this on the manifest. My God. There's a moratorium for bringing these things. I hope you're doing that. I hope you're doing those particular things because we've heard enough about it. We heard about these things where there's a clip and go and nobody looking and then boom, Mercedes-Benz. How'd I get there, Lord? This was supposed to be bears. Let's be decent about these things. And let's not curry favor in our posture either. Let's deal with these things accordingly. Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Yes. That's what it was. Let's deal with these things. Present yourself professional. Put your acronyms or whatever you want to put on your vest. Make it big block letters. When you show up, everybody know what you come for. The letters alone is the authority that gives you access. The uniformity gives you access. You don't have to intimidate no one with the gun. You ready to got all the letters. You put the letters on, you conceal your weapon. Don't sensitize our children to this and believe that this is a norm. You ready then stop in the cars and the children can see that. You ready then on the roads and the children can see that. How would you think the children watching these things on the television? That's not my point. My point is that they're not oblivious to the fact that it exists. If you look statistically at the children in Chicago and how they deal with death and loss, it will blow your mind. They've become numb to death. There are stories where kids say, I walk over this guy. My first time seeing a dead person. Yeah, and I just went to school the next day. It was like no big deal. I see it all the time. We don't need to get to that point in our society. We don't. And so I just want to be able to give you commendation for what you've done. And just being able to talk to you about the fact that I don't think we're upset with what you're doing. We're just, the approach is peculiar. We know that the government has a responsibility for being able to identify and create a space that they can be able to cross their T's and dot their I's. They have to check it. The government is not in the position where they can allow these things to run rampant and do all what they can without being able to ensure that they've gotten everything taken care of. So I want to be able to give you commendation about those things. Just get your uniformity. Once you get your uniformity down, everybody can see you from afar off, know exactly what you're standing for, what you're representing, and what we should do. When we see you coming, we roll everything out. So, boss man, this all my things. That's good. Is this what you need? So let's do those things. Guys, the lines are wide open today. If you want to be able to join in the conversation, I'd love you to do so. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Anywhere from the Family of Islands, 242-300-5720. Or hit me up, 422-4796, live and in full effect. We're here. We're talking good. Murder count climbs to 61 at the midpoint of the year. Is there anything that we can say anymore? Is there anything that we can actually say to the younger generation or to these persons who have given up on the idea that there's any good in our society? Is there anything that we can say or do to see a curb and a shift in our society? I want to talk about that. We're now 51 years old as a nation, as a people. And I think it's a, you know, I don't want to hear the same old Howard, we're not independent and so forth and so on. Okay, but we do exist. I just want to be decent with you. I want to have a good conversation. I just want to know from the position of our existence, not the perceived existence, not the perceived sovereignty that a lot of persons be able to cast upon us, not this independence that they kind of be able to project upon us when we know that we have this kind of a self-governance, not being able to identify the contrast that exists in there. Let's get to one people united in love and service. Let's get to that. This one people under the divinity of the opportunity that we were given, that we weren't born into, many of us, but the opportunity that we were given to be able to shape our destiny. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about whether or not we are on the path for true growth and development. And if there's anything that we can do to change our course. Have we given up on the idea of being able to change? With significant deaths increasing, with social morality being able to decay significantly. Let's talk about these things. With the desensitization of a great deal of things that we're doing from a social standpoint. You're cussing around your children. Remember, you never used to cuss around your children. You never used to drink rum around your children. We're just talking from a moral standpoint. We're talking about social morality. Not necessarily policing it, but what can we introduce to get ourselves back on course? Or are we content that this wide way that we've taken, this way where we could be able to do a six-point turn in the road, without being able to touch the edges and the railings and the guardrails of our society that says, okay, no, this is too far. There's no such thing as too far. That's what it seems. And this is the space that we've gotten to now. The question I have for you is whether or not we're going to be able to get back on course. Whether or not the dreams our forefathers had, what our grandmothers told us about what independence is and what it meant for her, what it meant for an enslaved people. And I know you got to hear the Savoy Plaza in here somewhere. But pushing past this concept of not being able to access their entertainment, what it meant for Black Bahamians to be able to access this opportunity, what it meant, the representation of being able to amalgamate our dreams and hopes to move towards that. The question I have is whether or not that'll ever be revived. Not under the banner of what the Bahamas Secretariat has said, not under the banner of the proclamations that come from the government, but under the banner of our hearts, standing strong in our convictions. Have we given up on society? Or do we believe that there is still hope? Talk to me, guys. The line's going to be wide open today. I want you to join in today. We're going to be talking about this thing. One people united in love and service. 51st anniversary. Let me take this quick commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, be right back after this.
Spicy or new?
Signature hot
please. What's your flavor?
Roasted garlic parmesan. Tastes so good, chicken.
Ghost pepper.
Popeyes.
Now available at Popeyes in Nassau.
Popeyes. Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m., Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors' new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Luck, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery chargers, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5267.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant, your company, live and in full effect. Guys, I hope that you're taking notice of what's happening in the Caribbean, in the Eastern Caribbean right there, the southeastern aspect. We've been able to see something. Parts of the Caribbean brace for a barrel. We've seen that the, the CARICOM, I think the head of state, the 47th CARICOM meeting heads of states are supposed to be able to be in Grenada, and they actually pushed that back. Am I correct? Am I correct saying that? I'm only picking this up, trying to remember what I heard on the news and being able to see those particular things. So it's very important. I think that we've been through enough hurricanes to understand that we just kind of breathe that sigh of relief. Can we do that? You remember that? We could breathe that. Which hurricane was it when it stopped? We thought it was gone, then it turned back. Listen, man, let's just be decent. I don't know how you get prepared for these particular things. But when it comes to acts of God, when it comes to acts of nature, when all of our strength as men, we have to be able to surrender that. We have to surrender it to supremacy. That's just me. That's how my family and I get prepared. Beyond that, we strap up the house, we do whatever we have to do, ensure that everything is taken care of, put the car there, do whatever we have to do. That's one. But the second and most important thing that we do is we have to remain faithful and surrender our fragile nature as men to a supreme God and say to him, Father, watch over us. Let your divine will be done, Let your kingdom come. We ask that you help us in this particular instance. That's just me. So I don't know how you prepared. This is what the men and women of old in this country told me how to prepare for something. And they would celebrate this set of an idea after they come out of it. They could tell you stories, but when we came outside in the eye of the storm, my God. And God, what? Yeah. But they lived to tell the story. It's important that we identify these things. And we start to have these kind of a conversation. Well, guys, today we're just talking about these things. We're just going to be able to talk. And I want to be able to open up the line 323-622-32-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720, or hit me up 422-4796, 422-4796. And let's talk about these things. I just got to be really clear about these things. For me, we've gone through it. Last year, we had a very good conversation about Unicom and the inception thereof and how youth was responsible at the forefront of being able to identify, galvanize, and push forward for the independence that we see now. Youth, young people. We had conversations with great men. Frankie Wilson called in. We had... I spoke with Perry Christie in his particular capacity, former Prime Minister Perry Christie. I had a conversation with former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram that was offline. Both of those conversations were offline, but all was in preparation to understand the overarching concept of what was happening during a time in the country that caused men to move in the direction to be able to ensure that we could rectify some things. I had to have a good conversation with them. Very good conversation. I totally enjoyed that. Sean McQueenie, in his particular capacity, being able to come down and speak at length about the passion that went into an organization called Unicom. And how Unicom was just sort of the birth child, the brainchild of Prairie Christie in many instances. And being able to say, okay, we've formed this, formalizing those things, bringing young people who came back from university, came from college, the one thing that we recognize, the one thing that we knew for sure that existed in this space was the fact that within their hearts, they were all community builders. And that's a wonderful thing. I like to be able to talk about those things and talk about these. I just want to know whether or not we as a people left that concept and idea of building community. Has education creeped in to the point where we care nothing for our brothers anymore? Have we pushed out this kind of religiosity and being able to accept the doctrine of man to say that, Bala, take care of yourself first. You better take care of you. This doctrine and idea of community first and being able to ensure the reciprocity of your commitment externally will eventually and inevitably come back to you. Forget that doctrine. That's the doctrine that we came upon. Forget that doctrine. Let's go directly to the doctrine that says, listen, one for me, one for you. Two for me, one for you. Three for me, one for you. That is the doctrine that the country is living off right now. It spews out, whether it deliberately or unintentional, from a political standpoint. Leadership has the posture in this country that believes that their elevated leadership, even from a private sector, has the posture in this country to believe that they are elevated to the position that, hey, listen, y'all know y'all supposed to take good care of me, eh? Me first. The Bahamian citizen has become the lowliest of low in our own society. But I want to talk about one people united in love and service. Is that unity, that love, that commitment, that actual amalgamation and pulling person together? Are you feeling that? Let's talk about it. I love the fact, man, I had an opportunity to be able to ride downtown today. Had to go pick up my watch from Watch Repair downtown. And I'm right there to the store, you know, the people's store, right? Went down there, got a shout out to Kazimu. I'm sure that he did that. I got to be able to shout out to Kazumu. I haven't seen Kazumu in a little while. He and I just spoke the other day, but I'm hoping that he's well. I always seen that he's working and being able to do a great deal of things. I saw all the flags and everything going downtown. And leading up to that, I know that he's done that. I saw some pictures online on his Facebook page. I know that he's done that. I'm grateful to Kazumu. Grateful for what he's done. But as I look at this, as I take these things into an environment, and I realize that everyone was given a task. Everyone was given a task. Just like Commander Boleg, everyone was given a task to execute. The question I have is whether or not we as a people understand our task. Whether or not we have taken on the task of being able to identify that this is a community. We've left our mark, the anchor that held us, that we were celebrated for, that we were recognized for, that blessings ran into us as a result of being able to ensure that our anchor held. We've let go of the anchor. One thing about the anchor now, they ain't gonna let go of you. You let go of the anchor. And in letting go of the anchor, it placed us in this posture and this position, this sort of an idea that this is life now. It has been replaced with language that says, it is what it is. Young people has made significant modifications to that language that says, it is what it is, and taken it up to another notch, another level. It ain't even that serious. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to put to you that it is that serious. And it is our responsibility to know that the severe nature of social decay is going to corrupt this nation entirely. That we are a people that should be united in love and service. We have rejected love and replaced it with carnal pleasure that satisfied our bosom for the moment, but don't have no desire to expand upon. My God, I feel like I'm getting preachy with you today. I feel mad preachy today. We've rejected the unity and united our forces internally to say to hell with everybody else, I got to get me. We've rejected the concept of community and created cliques in every subsector of our country. You got a brotherhood here. You got a brotherhood there. You got a fraternity here, a fraternity there. You got organizations here. Civic organizations here. Everyone is trying to be able to do one thing, fix the country. But no one seeks to unite. How? We can do it like this. Let's talk about the lines are wide open, guys. Telephone caller on the line. Colin Lambert.
Good afternoon, Mal. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. What's happening with you?
All right. I just sitting right back here listening to you. I'm trying to figure out how I can bring my point across to you.
Let me hear it.
Well, when you talk about lesser, don't really get too deep into the, like, it be independent or don't focus on that part too much. I think you're saying something about doing the 6-point turn.
That's how wide the road is. You know, you only could do a 3-point turn in the road. The road, double wide. It's a 6-point turn you could do.
Yeah, but I think about it, like, you know, the only time you were really united as a nation, like, that was prior to majority rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what united us is because we all had a common, at least the black people on here, we all had a common problem. Like, we all had something that we all saw to be an issue that affected all of us,
mm-hmm.
right? And, like, it's going to be hard to get back to that type of mentality again, Howard, where something affects everyone on that level.
But something affected us right now, though. You don't think that? Economically, every one of us are affected.
Not like that, Howard. What I'm trying to say is that economically, you have some people who could barely buy bread,
mm-hmm.
right? But then other people could go buy a brand new boat right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have people in between that. You understand? So everyone is not affected in the same way. You understand? But
yeah.
But before majority rule, if you had black skin, like you talk about the Savoy, you couldn't go down there, right?
Mm-hmm. No, you couldn't go down there.
So that affected everybody with black skin.
Mm-hmm. I see what you're saying.
You understand where I'm coming from?
I see what you're coming from.
And it affected you in a way where you were being denied certain privileges, or you felt as if, you know what I mean, it was injustice.
But talk to me about this, though. The fact is that we still, as a people, we ain't making no moves. We're not making any significant moves. We're still screaming at our government or what our government hasn't done. We're still screaming at the opposition about what the opposition needs to do. We're still hoping, and even encouraging niche organizations and like the COI and other DNA and other organizations. We're still hoping good for them, you know, but we will never support them. We ain't really voting for them. Our country is fractured. How we could fix this?
Well, I mean, like you say, Howard, I mean, you know, we already split and divided on this independence thing and what country is all about, and we have talk about, you know, like, what is Bahamian culture and what is a Bahamian? I mean, like, that's a question we have thrown around on various levels. I mean, from professional people, like people who are well intellectuals, and from lower people, I mean, they've tried to figure out what is a Bahamian. Mm-hmm. You understand? So, like, we don't have a sense of true name. I mean, you know, Howard, I mean, black people in this country, we are at the bottom of the totem pole, right? And you see, that is where we need to begin to look at our problem. And I think that could give us a sense of that unity again, but it's going to be larger than just being a Bahamian. It's going to be back to your skin color again. You understand?
Wow.
What I mean is that we're going to have to look around the world as black people and realize that as black people all around the world, we are disadvantaged. You understand? And we need to teach our children that a way to look at the world, because, see, you have to understand that how we became, how the colonial masters and the slave masters were able to get us into this mindset here is they did it through the younger children, to the generation, to the ones who were growing up. They got the children to buy into, you know what I mean, because that became the children's reality. A person like me and a person like you who have experienced all type of different things, it's like they say, bend a tree when it's young, it's difficult for us to accept a reality as a reality when we have something in our mind that's challenging it, if you understand. But when you grow up into something, like that's your reality, like you live that. You personify that thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to play that because that's all you know.
Wow.
You understand? And that is what we have to ingrain into the children, a different mindset that we don't have. You know what I mean? A mindset that is as different as how when the slave master used to have the older people in the church, the older ones, and had the children there so the children could gain a different type of understanding. But then the older ones hated this thing, didn't want this thing. But the children got this thing, like, you know what I mean? But let me say this. Because we gotta teach our children to say, look at the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who can beat black people doing anything, Mr. Grant? You know what I mean? We dominate everything that we are given a fair opportunity at, right? We are the ones who really make this world what it is. You know, the kind of way in terms of, I mean, even down to the resources that come from the country, from Africa, right? But when you look around the world, though, we are the ones who are at the bottom. You know what I mean? No one can beat us running. No one can beat us at entertainment. No one can beat us doing anything. But then when you look at it, for some reason, we're suffering. So how could a people so great, right, be so weak and be so in the situation that they are in when nobody in the world could beat them? When every other race, when they see them, they are intimidated by them, and you know it.
But what you see, what separates a great deal of black people, and we have to say black, what separates us from, let's say, the Jews that we see, right? What separates us from, let's say, the Chinese? What separates us from even the Indians? And what we've identified in our community is this exact same thing that we're talking about. This unity.
What separates us?
Our inability to unite on one objective to move forward towards a goal. We have unity.
But our situation has been much different from theirs. You know, we are people who have been completely, like how the Bible describes, people who have been completely removed from their homeland and relocated to another place, right? And have become a totally different people. The individuals you talk about, they never leave their homeland.
Wow.
You know what I mean? They don't have no diaspora that's all over the world that was forced upon them. If they have a diaspora, it's because they left there willingly. They migrated, right? So you're dealing with the people who are coming from a totally different situation than individuals you call, and not only that, you're dealing with the people who are intentionally being held back by the powers that be also. Because I saw a video where this man was talking, and he was talking to this group of people, and he was talking about how it is forbidden. They cannot allow Africa to rise. You know what I mean? So we have...
I think I saw the video also.
Yeah. So we have people...
Yeah.
Whose intention it is, I mean, in powerful nations, to hold us back. So we are in a very serious predicament.
Wow.
You understand where I'm coming from? So like I said before, but we need to ask the question, how is it that a people like us still bowing to the white man when, like, I look at white people and white, I like, white people don't impress me. You know that kind of way? White people don't impress me. Do you know what I mean? I mean, like, I'm trying to figure out like I said before, Howard, how is it that the people who are so dominate everything that they're given, like Dominic Dawes doing things and gymnastics.
I suppose it's the conditioning.
Okay, then. So
I suppose it's the conditioning.
So we must develop a different way to look at life.
Do you believe, and I got to let you go after this, do you believe that development of a new way, a new mindset, a new outlook, do you believe that we could start that within our community?
Yes, sir. But what we're going to have to do, though, what we're going to have to do is that the things that we're going to have to introduce, right, is bitter to the people who talking about change, like you right now, like even though you want the change and you want that thing to come, the thing that is the medicine for it, you might not like it and you might not want to promote it because you don't like it, but it's the medicine that we need. If that makes sense to you, the philosophy that we need, the teaching that we need, you may not like it, and the majority of people may not like it because it exists right now, but people don't like it. You understand?
Wow.
So because people don't like it, and because it's a teaching that has been looked down upon for so long, they don't want to have it. But like I said before, that's what we need, Howard. And we need to look at it from a perspective of skin color. You know what I mean? We cannot get past that skin color thing, all right? Skin color is the only thing that really unites us, and we all are African people, etc. And when you talk about that unity, about that oneness and that cohesiveness here as a people, we'll never have that if we're trying to get that as being.
I appreciate you, man. I thank you so much for your telephone call, my brother. I really do appreciate that. I like to have these kind of conversations. Maybe our society has the patriarchy in our society doesn't allow us to be able to have that vulnerability. But it's important that men discuss this. We're not in the smoker's room, guys. Yeah, women could hear us having real conversations about what needs to happen. And one of the things that I like what my caller says is to introduce a bit of medicine. The medicine of accountability. The medicine of this sort of an idea that you remain committed to the service of our country, to the service of our people. Guys, I got to take this commercial break. I think we're going to go right into news. No? Okay. Let me take this quick commercial break. We're going to be right back after this.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Get ready to celebrate Independence the BK way with our new Independence King Combos. Choose from our classic flame grilled beef version or indulge in a crispy chicken breast topped with savory bacon, arugula, crisp onion rings, cheese, and our special tropical sauce. Both come with fries and a drink for a flavor sensation perfect for celebrating every year. Remember to top off your Independence King Combo with a delicious guava sundae or the new guava ice shaker, available only at Burger King Nassau.
Your health just got brighter with Lamp Insured. Sign up for Doctors Hospital's Lump Insurance Supplement Plan and enjoy copay waivers and complete access with no upfront ER or inpatient collections. Only $30 per month. Visit doctorshosp.com/lamp to sign up or contact 242-822-1009. That's 242-822-1009. Your journey to affordable and worry-free healthcare begins now.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
Foundation. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company. We're just talking today about United in Love and Service, this concept and idea of United in Love and Service. Last year, we celebrated our Golden Jubilee, being able to identify the fact that we as a nation celebrated 50 years. Some say independence, some say self-governance, some say that the sovereignty is far from us. And us still being able to have a significant allegiance to the monarchy, to Her Majesty heirs and throne. Listen to me. We're having so many conversations. And I feel like we're not even united on what we're rowing about. I don't even think we're united on this sort of a concept and idea of where we should stand. Where do we now plant our shovel to dig deep to find out what exists beneath this particular surface? Let's talk about that. The lines are open, guys. Before I go to a break, let me take this quick commercial. Let me answer this telephone. Go ahead. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard Grant.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
How are you, man?
I good.
Spare me 1 minute, please.
Go ahead.
I had an African experience this morning. My friend picked me up, take me out for a ride with him. He had one or two things to do. He ended up blowing out a tire on his truck. And we had to go by a African tire shop. I didn't even know how African them get tire shop, you know. The African tire shop. Listen to this. And I have a sight impairment problem. I have problems with marriage. My friend has no reason to lie to me. He said they had to go into a trailer to get out a tire for him. And in that tire that they took out for his truck, they had about four other tires in that tire.
Mm-hmm. That's how they ship it.
So I don't know if customs has checked them tire like that or I don't know.
That's how they ship it.
And then the African fella has such a bad attitude. I said, buddy, you visiting us here, you know. I hope you're here on a work permit. You're visiting us. Oh, you don't have to buy no tire from me. We get the best tires in the Bahamas. Everybody that's come by. I said, buddy, we here to bring business to you. Mm-hmm. What you running on, man? I said, y'all have to govern yourselves, man.
Wow.
You know, and I tell you, when God were to give me my sight back, if I had to go to Bartry, but if I had to go to my Bahamian brothers, I don't care what the tire cost, I would not patronize a African tire shop.
I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the experiences that a lot of us are facing in this country. Can I say this? Can we talk like this? Can we be honest with each other? Whether it's for your haircut, whether it's for you to be able to get something to wear, you're finding yourself for superb service at an affordable price, stepping over your brothers and sisters. And still screaming for this unity and love and this united service. Is that as a result of policies? Or is it just as a result of our position? Let's talk like this. I'm going to take this commercial break, get to news, and guys, I'm going to see you back on the other side.
The Foundation.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, The Foundation. Beautiful day, grateful to be in your company. July 1st. the first day of the seventh month of 2024. I hope you guys are here. If you're not here, we continue to be able to say a soft prayer for those who have transitioned, gone on before us. If you are still here, that means that you still got great opportunities to move forward. Today and over the next 10 days leading up to our independence, which is July 10th, we're going to be able to have these kind of conversations. We're going to engage in one level or another with you. Generally, we're going to talk about this today. And then more specifically, we're going to be able to see if we can get persons in here to talk about this sort of an idea of where we are from United in Love and Service. This idea of the fraction, right? The distance that exists between productivity in our community and our current position. Right? How do we now mend that gulf and get back to seeing our country move forward? And a lot of persons will say, Howard, we never was there. I want to have a clear and honest conversation with you to talk about where we are. The Bahamas Secretariat is taking on a very strong position to talk about one people united in love. We're celebrating 51 years. Whilst this is great as a banner. Whilst this is great to be able to project to the entire world and even the community to change those minds who may not necessarily be the thinkers in our society. Talk to me. Let's be decent. To be able to imprint upon those malleable, right? Those minds that are quickly shaped and shifted the way that you desire, right? Those soft minds. You could brand on them what you want. Those exist in our society. But there are men and women that stand strong in conviction, that have looked at the gamut of information that exists out there and have assessed our current position. And in assessing our position, they've identified a few things. We're not united in love and service. That the proclamations, that the posture, the idea, the sovereignty that we continue to be able to expose and sing of does not exist in this country. And the only question that I have is not even fighting you to say that it does exist. I'm not saying that it does. I'm asking you, how do we get to a point and position of unity, productivity, purpose, and realignment with the objectives that our forefathers have laid out? This one people united in love and service. One people united in love and service. This is all encompassing. This speaks to immigration. This speaks to unity. This speaks to inclusion. This speaks to race. This speaks to all manner of things. This one people united in love and service. I want you guys to be able to join me on that particular path as we have these kind of great conversations. Please do so, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of islands, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. There's a caller on the line.
Howard?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, can you hear me, Howard?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. Go ahead.
One people united in love and service. Eh?
Yes, yes.
Well, I hope we get there one day.
Me too.
That'll be a real task accomplished if we can. Because when you sort of look around, Howard, you just see a group of people taking advantage of the people who want to be united in love and service. That seemed to be the order of the day. I'm sure you remember the war in Afghanistan. While America was fighting the Afghanis, you had the Chinese on the other side of the mountain mining all the precious minerals. Mm. They weren't involved in the fight. They were concerned about uniting, just grabbing. You look at Haiti right now, you have the Kenyans in there who are going to take out their black brothers, but yet you have U.S. building military bases on the other side. So there seems to be a group of people who always want to take advantage while destroying what you have. Right here locally, I can't get a liquor license and a food license to sell food in the same place, but you have some slant-eyed people could do it.
Mm.
So this is just a joke that's being played on us over and over again. And here it is. We are bowing down to monarchs who are cancer-ridden, humans just like me.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, it's just a game, but the young people are seeing the game that's being played on us. And I hope someday before I die, they would rise up and challenge the status quo. Because, you know, your first caller hit on something really, really, really important. In that we seem to be needing to take this medicine, but when we get a chance to take the medicine, we don't like it because it might be too bitter. Or we just don't like the idea of taking medicines.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone could come along and present us with the medicine that the whole society needs and we could embrace that individual, I think we could do away with the buffoons that we have, you know, those zombies that we have running the countries nowadays. Mm. All over the world, there seems to be this problem.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be zombification of a group of people and rise of another group. That ain't changed. That ain't stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So how you can be united in love and service when somebody got their foot on your head?
Mm.
How do you rise above that, Howard?
I don't know. This is how we talking about it. How do we do that? How do we not lose hope and we don't faint as it relates to being able to contribute to the growth and development of our country? How do we do that?
But you know, Howard, you told me before that slavery was important because the people needed a lesson. You know, I didn't buy that too well, and I still ain't going to buy that.
I tell you in those words, I feel like you made modifications to what I said.
Yeah, but the man said God lived here, and obviously he was here while all them slaves were being hoarded from Africa. You tell me they needed that lesson.
No, I didn't tell you that like that. I see you made modifications. I'm not going to fight you for the liberties that you've taken today.
Okay, thanks,
thank you, my brother. I do appreciate your telephone call. Right? No. I never take on this kind of position to be able to celebrate slavery. The only thing that I can do, Howard Grant, yesterday, I think it was Friday or Thursday, I was at the line somewhere with my kids, and I had to poke my head outside the truck, right? They wouldn't stop talking. I poked my head outside the truck, right? They keep talking and yelling and screaming and sitting there in the back of the truck sitting down, and they wouldn't stop. And we were somewhere on the line, and I poked my head outside. And I looked up. Instantly, I recognized the fragile nature of human beings. I saw these 3D clouds rolling in. And I said to myself, wow. I mean, these things are ancient. They existed far before we were here. And they'll be here well after we're gone. Just the existence and idea of knowing that we're in a space without being able to look horizontally, right? If we take a longitudinal perspective and being able to identify that there's something above us and we understand something, the only thing I could do is that whether I was in Africa, born in Africa, whether or not I was back of Belgium, it don't matter. To know that I was given an opportunity, I think that's a wonderful thing. Now, for a lot of persons who are going through trial and tribulations, that might be hard to hear. But if you continue to be able to go through, if you don't seek to exit stage left on your own and push the curtains to the side, if you go through and you take faith with you, a very clear understanding that you were called for something greater, I think no matter what we've gone through, we can still have the great appreciation for knowing that we're here. And with the time that we have now, let's be able to make something happen and move forward. That's just how I feel. That's how I feel. It's hard for me to be able to do that. It's hard for me to live with the pain of what I've endured yesteryear. I got to let it go. I got to let a lot of those things go and continue to be able to move forward with the time that I have. I think if we could acknowledge neocolonialism and say that our forefathers have taken on this posture, this position to be able to hold self-governance of this country and move us forward, they didn't do a good job. If we could acknowledge that, we could identify that, we deduce that, had significant social conversations about it, we all agree upon that. If we have identified that, why we keep beating this dead horse? My God, I just want to know that. This only Howard. This only me and you. We here having a very clear conversation. You're going to hear a bunch of different shows and different persons and the different captions in the newspaper and probably supplement newspaper ads and so forth and so on to talk about the beauty that is the independence of the 51st anniversary. You can hear all of that. Today, let's talk some real talk. Today. You didn't beat the men and women of yesteryear. You didn't beat their guts up. My God, let's talk. about what they didn't do, about how they lied to us. They've done all these things to us, and we still keep voting for the same men and women. We've identified them, gave them a label. We call them neo-colonialists. We say they are nothing but black-faced men that take us with the iron fist of yesteryear, taking us to a position where they continue to be able to cripple us. We have identified them on all sides of the political divide. We've identified these men and women that we've put in place to lord over us. And we continue to be able to fall to our knees year after year, day after day, with an archaic approach to a progressive society. Archaic approach to leadership in a progressive society, with thinking people who've been exposed to what the world can do, and you still vote for these people. The question no longer exists what's on the other side of what needs to change over there. The question now that I put before you is what we need to do. That's it. This one people, that's you and I. That's without the authority and the badge of this dictator's position and an elevated position. That's without that. We are mere mortals. We don't see ourselves elevated. We only see ourselves as survivors, grateful for the opportunity to be here. Talk to me. What do? We already didn't call them neo-colonialists. We already didn't call them thieves. We already didn't call them liars. We already didn't say they shouldn't be honorable. This is a known fact. There's no debating whether or not it is what it is or it's not. The question that I have now exists with our side of defense. What do we do? This is an insurrection. This is a desire for you to be able to come together. And this is a very soft question, an introspection that you ask yourself. We keep going through the same rhythm of yesteryear. My God. Next year, we can do this again. God, spare our lives. If I ain't here, somebody else can do it. Every year, until we get to 150 years old, we will have the exact same conversations because we have not learned. We have not learned. I'm not talking about individual, this kind of idea that you had a eureka moment from an individual's perspective. I'm not talking about this fact that you've been able to see the light within the confines of your own family. I'm talking about us as a society. We have not matured. We have not developed. We have not assessed. Nor have we taken our webbed feet, stretched it out, and made a significant step to the progression that we desire. How long we can blame the FNM or the PLP? How long? How long will you continue to tell me about what the UBP did not do? How long? How long will you be telling me about the archaic approach that exists within the confines of the Constitution that doesn't speak to this generation? How long? How long will you continue to say this government has done nothing about immigration and we have no space in this place? How long? When will we get to a people united to a very clear understanding of what's being done to them and move with love and determination for this nation to the service of being able to reform our community and hand it to the next generation? Let's be decent. Let's be decent. Quick telephone call. Guys, the numbers, the lines are wide open. Please, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of violence, 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, everything's great. Hey, Mr. Grant.
Yes, sir.
I heard a gentleman called in, and he complained about the Africans that are here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what you need to understand is the origin, all right? You need to go all the way back and find out how they got here.
Mm-hmm.
Those Africans who are here, they are not illegal, you know. Mm-hmm. They have legal status. And let me tell you how they got here, all right? They came here all the way back in the 90s when Atlantis came to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And I spoke with the Africans. They were locked up in the detention center. Most of them, you see, they were in the detention center. And the African told me, I asked him, I said, how did you all end up all the way from Africa here in the Bahamas? And he said that when Atlantis came here, they saw that they were investing their monies, he called it their monies, which is Atlantis, in the Bahamas. So they didn't know about the Bahamas at the time. And after they saw what they were building here, he said that where their money go, they go. So that's how they end up in the Bahamas. So they were locked up in the detention center. And what happened is that the Bahamas government, they only paid for the Haitians and the Cubans to go back home. The Bahamas government put the bill for the Haitians and the Cubans. And the reason for that is that they come in such a large number. It's only beneficial for the Bahamas to pay for those grouping of people to go back home, because then we are unable to house a large number of people like that. The country will overwhelm us. So what happens is the Africans, the Chinese, the Jamaicans, and all the other nationalities, they have to find their way back home, however they find their way back home. So what happened is that those Africans and other nationalities that come from countries all the way down in either Asia or Africa, they come to multiple countries. And what happened is that the government could not send them back home because they had to fly back to other countries, and the other countries were not receiving them. So what happened is that this story got a little bit too much holes for me. They were in the detention center for a couple of years, and Amnesty International came here and said it was inhumane for those persons to be locked up.
Now, I remember Amnesty International coming and being able to speak more specifically to one individual. And I don't know whether or not this was of African origin, but I remember.
I was working at the time. And what happened is they were there like for about 2-3 years, some of them. And they said it was inhumane to have them locked up.
There was one gentleman, and I appreciate you done the phone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly. And I do remember that, but the story got too much holes for me. I can't deal with it. It don't hold water for me. It don't hold water. Maybe this is what the gentleman said to you. Maybe this is an individual experience. Two things could be true at the same time. I'm not going to fight you. But for the most part, illegal is illegal. And if we're going to have a conversation about a sovereign government, we can't pay for a ticket to Africa. Excuse me, sir. We can. Now, if you're indicating to me that when Saul Kirzner was here and being able to develop the Atlantis Hotel and being able to develop these particular things, a lot of the Africans that came over based upon affiliation, based upon what they've heard, based upon development, based upon this particular foreign element that existed in there, and they decided to be able to take on this position of staying, that's a different story that you're saying, my brother. But we can't quantify these things. These aren't stories that we can be able to identify and put pen to paper to, and because there's no one coming out to say that. This might exist in their hearts. But I know that they didn't jump on a boat from Africa to here. I know that. And the issue that I have as it relates to this unity concept that exists in this country, the issue that I have is that we continue to scream about what we don't like, but we make no effort to be able to move towards the acquisition of something that you do. Remember I told you I had this kind of a book that I write in? I write in this book, right? This is my journal, what I dream and what I envision, what I hope for, this and that, and all these things like that, right? I promise you, March 12, 2006, my mother was not the member of parliament yet. March 12, 2006, my mother was not the member of parliament just yet. And I think I was still at the hotel at this time, 2006. I wrote in my book, I read it last night. I wrote in my book that I want to own a radio station, be a talk show host. Like, it was 7 different things that I wrote down, right? And I read this. I said, what the hell? I write this in 2006. I never even speak on the radio in 2006. I'm trying to get someplace with you. I'm trying to show you something, man. I'm trying to show you that sometimes you have to allow your spirit to believe bigger than your mouth could say. And we as Bahamians continue to be able to scream at the growth and development, the expansion of others in our society. We look at them and say, my God, how they could do that. And we right here. But you never dream of nothing more than, I won't be a pool attendant, you know. You know how much money the pool attendants get when it's 90% occupancy? My God, I'm trying to get something down at Bahama, you know. You know how much tips them fellas is make. You never dream for nothing beyond this. COVID-19, for the most part, showed so many behemoths that you have capability beyond your wildest imaginations. That it exists in you. It was just sitting there waiting for you. COVID-19 showed you that. Sir, any one of us could get a 40-foot trailer from China. They are waiting on you. You could call Omar right now, or you could call my good friend Lorenzo right now. You could call him right now, and they will assist you in being able to get that. The issue is we as a people, not all of us, but if this is a rock that's being thrown, the only persons to scream, you know I'm talking to you. The issue that we have as a people is that we have lost the dream of our society. The idea of independence. The dream that our mothers put in our hearts, in our ears, when she tucked us away at night, for those of you who were born before 1973. The dream that existed in this society, you have not given that to your children. You sold them the dream of the United States of America. You sold them a dream of Europe. You've sold them a dream of Canada. You've sold them a dream of where you believe the money is at. But we get 9.6 million people coming here every year. And your child still don't have a job. You're still trying to figure out, my God, you think they can be able to raise the ceiling to 67? So I have to work longer just to be able to survive? You think they're right? You have no plans. And then there are others who are sitting out there saying, child, I don't care if I live in Pinewood, if I live in Bain and Grandtown, if I could do an Airbnb, and they're making something. The issue is not the government. The neocolonialism that exists externally, the idea of blackface that continues to be able to have a chokehold from an economic standpoint, from a social standpoint, the issue is nothing external. The issue is us. Making a decision. And that's the bitter pill. Let's start to have those kind of conversations, guys. That is a bitter pill for us to swallow. Let's wake up. Let's talk about these things and let's start to dream again. The issues that we have when we don't dream is because of a blockage to the next realm. We've allowed ourselves to become bogged down with the issues of the day and not being able to alleviate ourselves and reconnect with the divinity that sent us here in the first place. These are hard pills to swallow, and maybe you rolled your eye and cussed the radio, but you know it in the depth of your heart that it's the truth. Until you get you straight, you cannot deal with nobody else's house. You got to take the beam out of your eye. Before you seek to take the log, take the log out of your eye before you seek to take the beam out of your brother's eye. Let's be decent. Let me take this quick commercial break, ladies and gentlemen. Be right back after this.
Foundation. Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Looking for great device deals and offers this summer? Look no further! Alive has special discounts on the latest smartphones, Ring devices, and accessories. Plus, as an Alive customer, you can expect exclusive yet extra offers and rewards, which means even more value for your money. We're talking more data, prizes, and surprises. Upgrade with us and experience the perfect summer with Alive in store or at bealive.com/deals.
Are you seeking exceptional health care beyond a traditional hospital setting? Introducing Doctors Hospital Clinics, your trusted destination for comprehensive care. Our full-service locations provide affordable services through our Loyalty Advantage membership program and NHI. Experience seamless care with our integrated health system, where your medical history travels with you, ensuring continuity of care. Book an appointment today at clinics.doctorshosp.com. We make primary care easy.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company. We're talking independence, we're talking about the perspective of being able to identify one people united in love and service. And the lines are wide open. I'd love you guys to be able to participate. 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere for the family of islands. 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. It's difficult to have these conversations with you. It's not the stereotypical conversations that talk about, you know, immigration. It's not the stereotypical conversations that talk about crime, or sweethearting, or politics, or any of these things that actually rally up your senses and say, let me participate. It's difficult. It's difficult when we say, but what about me? It's difficult. It's difficult for me to be able to have a conversation with you about introspection when the only thing you identify, and what we've been conditioned to identify the problem as, is an external problem. It's bananas. Isn't that crazy? No, the problem is all of it. You done been married four times. You married four times. You boast about how the longest relationship that you have had was 3 years. You boast about that. You're in the posture of always wanting to get married. You always speak with this tongue of divinity and being able to understand spiritual laws that you want to align yourself with to be able to move in this particular direction. You don't believe that you should have sex without being able to be married, because sex is for married women. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let's have a clear conversation about it. But every time you get married, the man does leave you. Every time you get married, the woman decides to leave you. Something wrong. Not with these four different people you find from different continents in the world. When are we going to make a determination that maybe it's me? With an honesty. With a vulnerability. That you don't have to open yourself to no one else. That in the quiet of your own space, that you could assess within yourself that maybe I need to take a different assessment. Let's be decent. 323-6232-325-4316. 325-4259. Anywhere for the family of violence. 242-300-5720. Hit me up, 422-4796. Call on the line. Go ahead. Go ahead. Call on the line. Call on the line with the live. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm calling
your turn paper. Your radio down for me 2 seconds, cuz.
Yeah, I'm trying to turn it off now. Okay, thank
go
you.
Go ahead. Yes, sir.
I apologize.
No problem.
I don't know if you're only sticking on a specific topic today, but I have a question that I really would like if you could help me with explain to me. I just came from the Treasury to be verified as a pensioner. So the agent asked for my email address. So I asked the question, well, why do you need that? Up to now, you haven't needed it all these years. So she told me.
What they used to ask you before would they ask you for your P.O. box?
No, nothing, just my ID.
Okay, okay.
And then you sign, you know? So she said, so I said, yeah, I don't have no problem giving you my email, mm-hmm. but I want to know why, but we still, what is the purpose of it? And she mm-hmm. said, because the government is moving to a new financial system or some. She didn't even say pension system, just a new system. Mm-hmm. The government is moving to a new system. So I asked, how does that affect me receiving my pension, this new system? What is it? How does it affect me? Mm-hmm. And, well, all she's saying is a new system, but she's not answering how it's going to affect the payment of my pension, which I get every month, once mm-hmm. a month. So she's saying, she finally says she don't know. Mm-hmm. Why do the government treat us this way? Don't they move into a new system, and we still don't know how it's going to affect our payments? We have obligations that we have been used to managing stewards as good stewards mm-hmm. or trying to be good stewards. And they all that, you know, what is this change? So can you give me any insight as to what that means?
I appreciate the telephone call, my brother. I could only give you generals. I can't give you specifics. From a general concept, the government of the Bahamas has a responsibility for being able to ensure that its people aligns with the technology that exists now. That's it. They have a responsibility. We've been screaming at them, yelling at them as those who understand technological movement and being able to say we need to digitize the approach of being able to do business in this country. The reason that we do that is for the purposes of accountability. The reason that we do that is for persons to say, well, I ain't it's ain't never come true. The reason that we do that is to be able to keep all avenues. That is the government, that is the recipient, and that is to ensure that those persons who've been able to pay you from an administrative standpoint behind the scenes, everyone is above board with how things are being done. I only can tell you that. That's what it's for. Now, the reason I asked you whether or not the government asked you whether or not you had, if this is the first time they've asked you for your email, if they've asked you for your post office number before, and you said no. The government of the Bahamas' responsibility is to always keep you updated as to their findings, as to their position, to find out whether or not the pensioner has passed away, to find out if you're still in good order, and how do we do these particular things. That's just for record. Now, as it relates to why they're treating you in this particular manner, whether or not this affects your pension, from a topical standpoint, just from a very superficial, from an understanding standpoint, this should not affect your money. This should not. Okay? I have had representatives from the NIB board come here and say that they're spending $28 million a month, with a shortfall of, I think, $1.5 million a month just to be able to pay pensioners on a month-to-month basis. So the government of the Bahamas is not slipping on their responsibility to ensure that they take care of all those persons in this capacity. But what they are doing, my estimation, based upon the conversation that we've had, what they are doing is to ensure that all the ducks in a row and they can be able to account for all the monies that are coming in and going out. When Keith Bell was in the House of Assembly to start to talk about blue chick stock, when the representative was here, Mr. Moxie was here, and Ms. Brathshaw, what's her last name? But she killed me. When she was here with us and being able to talk about these things, I'm looking for her name. I just want to be decent as possible as we talk about this, right? When they were here and being able to talk to us, they were clear that the government of the Bahamas makes 89% investment in their funds locally, and another 11% goes off internationally. And based upon what I understand that Keith Bell has taken on in the House of Assembly to speak about the blue chip stocks, is that obviously they've made modification of how they're going to approach that and where they're going to put their funds. That's it. So the government of the Bahamas is to be accountable and transparent with you and to say, this is where we are and this is what we're doing with our funds. So I just want to be decent with you based upon these things. And if anybody want to call and give us any further information, we're open to that. You know, you can call us here, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the text line, 422-4796, if you want to be able to bring further clarity to that position. Let me see if I can take a next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Howard.
Hey.
Yeah, I always listen to you. Howard, you know, you are very intelligent, you know.
Thank you, my brother.
And, you know, like, just listen. You know, when I call, you're able to articulate what I'm saying very quickly to some people who don't even understand, right? But here's where they have a problem. I don't know anything, and I try to learn every day I live, right? But you know what I learned? Sometimes intuition and common sense make sense, even when people are telling you nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a rhetoric the other day saying, what were they saying, they're getting ready to go to war, right?
Mm-hmm.
The war room. And then we have this counterintuitive narrative saying,
one people united in love and service.
All right. That's BS, okay? Because we have to look at what they're doing, not what they're saying. All right? So the gentleman, your boy who called, I always make me laugh. He's very informed to talk about the situation in Hispaniola, in which the American have air bases on one side and this counter situation going on the other side, and then the Kenyans coming in. So what you have to look at now is, if the government is saying, let's look at it, they're saying one thing but doing the other as far as us, right? The greatest resources is our people. But I listened to them talk about, in other words, they wanted to mention the 30 days, and let's talk about the task force, right? But you know, inside the inner city, there are a lot of people having businesses with no prices on it. They write the prices on, they change the prices daily, there's no accountability. So we have a lot of that going on here,
mm-hmm.
All right? But the Bahamian people, laws are enforced on them the most. And it's not right. And the people can see it and they can feel it. And certain demographics are allowed to get away.
I agree with
what we can't get away with. Like he was talking about the selling the liquor. But they're selling clothes and all liquor and food. But he's actually correct. But we know the reason for that. No particular administration is responsible for it because both of them are doing it and allowing it. All right? But then you want to talk about unity when it's time to talk about unity, when there's really disunity because a lot of Democrats, the guy called and spoke about the Africans and but I'm upset because the slave master is laughing all the way to the bank because like me and you discussed this before when Garth was on, the disunification of the African diaspora is really what is at play here. And so notice they're using the Kenyans, black people to go in Haiti to do what they did because they know the last intervention from 1915 to 1932 or whatever, how long they was there during the occupations. They know about the atrocity that they did against the Haitian freedom fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want any part of that. But this is a problem that Europe and slavery, colonial masters have created. But yet still looking for the Caribbean to solve this problem. All right, Howard? Mm-hmm. And then I heard you mention something about debt for nature swap, right?
Mm-hmm. We talked about that.
All right. From Carlton Smith and Ms. Malcolm and Warren, way before Warren and all, I was talking about debt for nature swap. All right? Now, given the fact that these people are talking about carbon credits, why is it that the government would be entertaining the debt for nature swap? You know what debt for nature swap is, right, Howard?
Mm-hmm.
All right. How could that benefit us? Why are they even considering this debt for nature swap, Howard? When basically this is a conservancy situation, like I said, land ownership, even if you under in the guise of conservation, You are somebody rich person acquire a vast piece of land in the name of conservation, but then they can actually enter the voluntary carbon trading market and get financial gains from owning a strip of land that they call conservation. So we have to be aware of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
and don't listen. See, I don't call to hear myself, but rather to show my mind is not on the shelf, or small as an elf.
I like that.
All right, but I you know something? What I hate too, Howard, is the Bahamian people. They make people like C. Allen, Graham, me, and all of us, even Rasta, who's called, to be the problem. It sickens me. All right? I love my country, but I don't love the passivity and the hatred in the people, of the people. All right? And the government's saying, let's show the Bahamian people some love. We know that the effects of immigration has affected our educational system and our social services system. All right? So the government cannot deny that. The Bahamian people are being denied social services, financial subsidies, right? In the guise of helping other people them. And how could we make it like this, Howard? We're not investing in education, nothing. Like summer school programs. I see someone offer a summer school program for 1 week. What could that do? children, and I'm looking for a gymnastics school to put my daughter in, somebody who could teach her to play piano, something like that. I have to go and ask and find out these things, Howard. I want to, you know, these children have energy, and they're sitting around, and I see this with the inner city youth, all through the inner city, Howard.
Yeah, that's the truth.
They just lock up the neighbor's son the other day, come through someplace in Bantown, say he ain't a gang because he, with these fellas, them on the motor scooter, but that just show you, they're taking it. The guy's only 14 years old.
Yeah.
He's a young guy, but you locking him up, coming in a gang. You have no evidence he's in a gang. You saying he's in a gang. Why don't they go for the real gangsters? Be joking in this country, man. People
I joking. Appreciate you, man, 52, that's man. Thank you so much. 52, every time you call, you kind of open up this door that actually speaks to a side of our society. A lot of persons, they acknowledge that exists, but they never really travail in this space. They don't talk about the inner city. They don't talk about the ADHD. They don't talk about this kind of a hyperactive nature that exists among all children, right? We're not just talking about inner city children. We're talking about all children. They then got sugar in everything these children is eat. Listen to me. I took my baby. You wouldn't believe. I can't call the people name, right? They're just part of the show. Let's be decent. I took my baby, 2 years old. Took the baby, 5 years old. I wake up. Now, we would normally on Saturday go get some stew fish and some sauce and some Johnny bread over by my very good friend over at Garden of Eden, right? And we go sit down there and have a beautiful time and enjoy ourselves on Saturday or on Sunday after church. This is what we do. So they like this, right? But this is a time for family. So we break bread together in this kind of a space. But sometimes they wake up and they want fast food. And they won't go to the expensive fast food where you get the latte and the frappuccino and this and that and all these things like that. So I never get none for my little girl. I just get her a cup. So everybody could pour something in the cup because in her mind, she want to participate. Okay, no problem. I give her a little cup, put a little straw in it. She takes 6 sips. Instantaneously crack cocaine. That's what we call it. You make a joke about it in our family because then they start getting crazy. When the sugar hit their system. These children got a lot of energy. 52, you're right. These children got a lot of energy. And we need to tire them out. I just sent my son to summer camp today. Right? He's going to go to summer camp for the next 4 weeks. So, you go on to summer camp. They got swimming every day. And they got soccer. I say, oh, Jesus. My God, this boy can be so tired when he come home. I was, how much more money do you want me to give you? So he can be tired when he get home. Because he need to do something. So they got reading all morning. They got reading to get yourself prepared to go to grade 1 to do what you got to do. Then they got swimming to get yourself prepared to be able to live as an islander. Then they got soccer to be able to dispel the rest of this energy that you got. I like this. I agree with you. No, who could do anything with a summer camp that's 1 week that you're affording us an opportunity to be able to enjoy? The government of the Bahamas need to take these things into consideration and understand who the audience and the demographic is that you're taking care of. You want to talk to us about one people united in love and service, we agree with you. The issues that we have is one, we're not doing introspection, and two, the government has not taken into account its audience. Can we say that? Can we talk like this and be honest? The government has not taken, governments have not taken into account the audience. They're not pandering to their audience. And maybe it's because their allegiance is to Her Majesty or His Majesty, their heirs and successors, and their unborn, rather than those of us that are living, breathing, and supporting them. Voting for them to be in this particular position. We are no one. We got to put ourselves in a better position than this. Quick commercial break, guys. Going to be right back, and then we're going to wrap the thing up after this.
Fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport Convenience Stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News Sales Representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, wrapping this thing up, just being able to talk about this from July 1st to July 9th. We're going to have a constant conversation, going to bring some persons in and being able to talk about some things. I've just received a call today, so I'll give you some more information about any other spaces that you'll be able to hear me and kind of do some stuff. So we'll be able to talk about that as we move forward. And if you want to be able to do that, we got a few minutes. If you want to be able to give me a telephone call, we can do that so I can hear those things. But I got to be able to read a few of these texts. This is Howard. I was under the impression that we were free from slavery, democratic and non-communist. But this hostile Gestapo government is stating otherwise. We have finally regressed back to BC time before Christ. Y'all are wilding out. Says where Caesar's men are manhandling civilians and nailing us to the cross for money. Imagine giving $1 million over the counter. This is a text that's coming in, right? So it says, Howard, we were supposed to be celebrating independence while being short in the, I hope you're saying short, not shot in the face. It says, God is out of the window. When it comes to the government, we are headed towards martial law. Wow, this is crazy. Aren't you saying this? Heading towards martial law? Y'all just looking for a reason to use those tanks. You need to stop. Let's stop. We're headed towards martial law. And so it says lockdowns, the FEMA camp, it says the showers, the New World Order, and the Mark of the Beast. As long as we have this government in power. Now hold on. You telling us about national and international events, global events, all make a determination as to whether or not they're going to move forward or backward as it relates to productivity in it, based upon the fact is if we have this government locally. This is wild. I'm not going to fight you. I'm just going to read your text. So it says, as long as we have this government in power, but I pray Yahweh will step in before he lets this happen to us Bahamian people. This hurricane season, remember, Dorian, and those heartless MPs have a personal plane to exit when it hits the fan. My God, this is a text coming through, right? So it says, Howard, can we choose another third party when all of them have eventually moved back into the FNM or the PLP? None can be trusted to stick to their convictions. Branville, Cassius, Komalafe, for all their talk, they've disappointed us. And they go back to the PLP or the FNM. What real choice do we have? There's a text that's coming through. So it says, Bahamians will continue to remain divided until they no longer have the country or stand up and take control to make a change. As much as we like to fool ourselves, we are not more special than any other nation. Meaning that we are fully capable of staying on this failed state path or losing total identity from the loss of our culture. Vote for independence in all bold letters. Vote for independence. Red and yellow will not make the next 50 years better. Will independence do? That's just a question I have. These last few minutes, is that the approach? Okay, let's fix it. Let's have this kind of a conversation. Child, I've been married three... This is a woman now. Let's be decent. Child, I've been married three times already. All these men ain't worth nothing. They stink and lousy. Their mother never teach them nothing. This women now. This is what the woman's saying. Their mother never teach them nothing. And they will come and me. They want me to take care of them. And they will come marry me and so forth and so on. They want me... Listen now, let's be decent. Let's be decent. And then the question I got is this. What follows that? You know what follows that? I don't want nothing to do with no man no more. I don't think that that's the proper structure. I don't think that that's the problem. That's what I'm reading here from your text. Your idea of being able to reject the formality of the indifference that you've chosen for one or two people, you're saying, forget about this formality. Let's go towards independence. I don't think that that's the answer. The issue that we have in our country is that we're choosing from this plane of non-productivity, this plane of a perceived idea of what politics is. You're still choosing the same people. The same pool you choose the politician out of for the FNM and the PLP is the same pool that you're choosing an independent out of. These people come from our community with a broken mindset. Our community that lacks conviction, our community that has yielded and genuflected to the concept that says it is what it is, it ain't even that serious. Let them do what they want to do. I'm just a squirrel trying to be able to get a nut. It's your world. That is the evolving mindset that no one will stand up for this country. Choosing an independent won't do anything but destroy the country. Can I say this? Choosing an independent won't do anything but destroy the country. Because often independents look for loud mouths to be able to speak on and behalf of their organization, but don't have the wherewithal, the insight and understanding of how governments work in the first place. So if you put them there in the first 100 days, they already failed. Now, you don't want to talk like this. You know your organization's capable, but you don't want to get involved. Get involved in your organization and be the true north. Be a voice of conviction and strength. Yeah, this could be an exhausting game, but somebody got to do it. And we're hoping that you do it. Guys, we're out of time today. I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to join in with us and being able to talk about this. It says, if third parties want a chance to get leadership with vision, not ideas, no way of explaining how they would do that. If they say they will do that, the same for the independents. It says, single independent women raise their broken men and they say that they are no good. They restore the family structure of two parents. Even if two are not together, you will restore the community and the country. That's a very good text. As I want to thank you so very kindly for being able to participate. We're going to dive deeper into these conversations and continue to be able to do that as we look at this concept and idea of one people united in love and service. Going to see you tomorrow right here on The Foundation. Godspeed. Have a beautiful day, guys. See you tomorrow. The Foundation. Foundation.